Broadcasting live from the Biz 1190 studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Business Radio X Week in Review. We know you're busy, so we've got you covered. Catch up on the week's top Atlanta business headlines and meet the industry execs and thought leaders who move Atlanta's bottom line. Now, here's your host, Dana Barrett.
All right. It is Sunday, October 13th. I can't believe how fast the time is going. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. I am Dana Barrett, and today, producer Mike Roy had the audacity to take vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe it. How dare he? So in his place, the lovely Joey Wensler. Hello.
Hey, everyone.
Mike Roy is out partying like he's a college student. He's pretending. He's reliving his glory days. And, you know, more power to him.
Yeah.
You know, you got to go out and have some fun once in a while.
No doubt.
All right. So good for him for doing that. Hopefully Joey will keep me in line, as Mike often does, and, you know, push the buttons at the appropriate moments, you know, bleep me out when I start saying things that are inappropriate, you know, all the good stuff. If you want to call into the studio here, you can do that. The number is 404-231-1190. We would be most happy to chat with you. And you can also tweet us. You can tweet me directly at Dana H. Barrett, or you can just use the hashtag BizRadio. That's B-I-Z Radio. I can't always multitask, so don't expect me to respond right away to the tweets, but I will try to keep one eye on Twitter if possible. I don't know if it's possible, but I'll try. We've got so much to talk about today that I almost don't know where to start. Of course, we've got some great clips from Business Radio X from the week, and they always lead me off in conversational tangents. But before we get to that, I just want to sort of catch up on the week. Did you see any movies or anything this week, Joey?
No, ma'am.
No. All right. Well, I did. So I know it's like becoming a habit. People are going to think all I do is go to the movies. So I'm going to just pretend that I do it for you all. I just want you to, you know, hear what's out there and know what your options are. So that's why I go. It's not for my own entertainment. Not at all. But this week I went to see Captain Phillips with Tom Hanks, and great movie, I have to say. Obviously ripped straight from the headlines. This is a real story. Well, it's a movie interpretation of a real story. You know how that goes. And of course, because it's a movie, there's all kinds of people who were involved in the real story that are now coming out and saying, well, that's not how it happened, and that's not true, and this and that and the other thing. Well, whatever. I don't care. It didn't interfere with my movie-going experience. I thought it was a great movie. As always, Tom Hanks did an amazing job, but that's almost to be expected at this point. Like, if he did a bad job in a movie, I think we'd all be like, huh? What's going on? But I have to say that the Somali actor who played the pirate, the Somali pirate, stole the movie. The guy's name is Barkhad Abdi, and he was amazing. Like, he was the real deal. And he was scary, but, like, real. But you got to see this guy. Anyway, also, I did some Googling, and I read this guy's story, and it's one of these, like, rags-to-riches stories that America is just, this is what we love here, right? This guy was born in Somalia, came to America when he was 7 years old with his family, was driving a taxi in Minneapolis, and heard about an open casting call for this role, had never acted before in his life, went to this open casting call and got the job and starred opposite Tom Hanks. I mean, like, how amazing is that? And not only did he star opposite Tom Hanks, he was amazing. He was amazing. So you got to go Google this guy, and you got to go see this movie. Guy's name is, again, Barkhad Abdi, and he was phenomenal. So anyway, just wanted to share that with you because I love, love, love rags to riches stories like that. I love when people just go for it and get it. But this is why I'm a sucker for reality TV, not going to lie, because I love seeing, like, these kids on American Idol or America's Got Talent, you know, go from, like, being a travel agent or, you know, sweeping the floor at the local McDonald's or whatever to being a star. I love that. I'm partly jealous and partly I just love it. All right. Also, on a sort of somewhat personal note, for those people who have been listening to me for a little while, you know that I used to own a bookstore and I'm very invested in book world and certainly book world here in Atlanta. So I want to tell you about the book festival of the MJCCA. This is the 22nd year that they've been doing this book festival, and it runs all of November, basically, November 2nd to the 17th, with most of the events taking place at the JCC in Dunwoody. But some events take place elsewhere in the city, so you kind of have to go on their website, which is atlantaajcc.org/bookfestival, to find out more about the different events. Anyway, there's all kinds of different stuff for everybody, but I want to tell you specifically about two events. One is on Friday, November 8th at noon. The author Letty Cotton Pogrebin will be there. She is the we have alarms going off in the studio. Can't trust Joey. Can't trust him as far as you can throw him.
That's my awesome alarm because you're here.
That was awesome. All right. Anyway, Letty Cotton Pogrebin will be in Atlanta. She is the former editor and chief of Ms. Magazine, the founder, actually, of Ms. Magazine. And she has a book out called How to Be a Friend to a Friend Who's Sick. And the reason I bring it up is because I will have the privilege of interviewing Letty on stage at the JCC. And both she and I are breast cancer survivors. And so it's going to be, you know, a very personal, real talk about kind of dealing with your friends and family who have dealt with something, whether it's a breast cancer or AIDS or Parkinson's, or whether it's terminal or they're going to get better. It's a really, really good book. I started reading it over the week, and I was marking every single page. So I think it's going to be a really good talk. Again, it's noon on Friday, November 8th. So take off for your lunch hour and come be with us. For more information on that, again, atlantaajcc.org. And then the next night, Saturday, November 9th, two of the biggest names in women's fiction nationally and even internationally are going to be here. And I'm super excited about that. I will be out of town, unfortunately, so I won't be at the event Saturday night, November 9th, but you can be. It's Saturday night, November 9th, 8 p.m. Ellen Hildebrand and Wendy Wax will be at the JCC talking about their latest books. Ellen's is called Beautiful Day, and Wendy's is While We Were Watching Downton Abbey. So if you are you don't have to be a woman. You could be a man and still like women's fiction. It's okay. We won't tell anyone.
Thank you.
But if you are a fan of women's fiction, these are two of the biggest names out there today, and you have got to go check it out. So moving on, our first clip today from Business Radio X is from a show that we haven't yet featured here on Week in Review. It's from a show called The Doctor's Roundtable, which airs on Thursdays. And the host of that show is Tanya Mack. This week, she had a guy on by the name of Dr. Scott Leibowitz, who is a board-certified internal medicine physician, and he's currently the president of the Georgia Association of Sleep Professionals. Now, in this whole episode, it's a long episode. Well, our clip's only a couple minutes, but the actual show's an hour long, and I think she's got several guests. But Dr. Leibowitz specifically, during his interview, is talking about diagnosing people with sleep apnea. And in this clip, he's talking about two different kinds of studies, and they get to, I want you to listen to it because at the end of the clip, they sort of get to some of the stuff we've been talking about here with healthcare reform. So take a listen to this clip.
There's two primary diagnostic modalities that we use. One is the in-lab sleep study or polysomnography, and that's where we bring people into the laboratory, we wire them up with about 1,000 electrodes.
And they're just looking at the pictures frighten me to death.
Well, it's let's say it's awkward. Mm-hmm. It's not. I'd much rather have a sleep study than a colonoscopy.
Now, can people actually sleep hooked up to all that stuff?
It's not a perfect reflection of what their sleep is. But beyond that, we're also looking not so much at the behavioral sleep and wake state, but their physiology of sleep.
Okay.
So if they're sleeping, we get data.
Okay.
And now, granted, we need those various stages that I alluded to before, mm-hmm. and we need body positions, we need to correlate all of that stuff. But it certainly, I would say 95 to 98% of the time that we do a test, we get the information
what you
we're
need.
After.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in lab would be one, and the second is
the home sleep test.
Okay.
And home sleep test really gives us a fraction of the information that we get from the laboratory. We don't measure sleep, we don't measure body movements, we don't get a lot of the physiologic data that add to the picture. But if we have an individual who's just, it's clear sleep apnea is their problem, there's no complexity to their sleep problems, and there's no complexity to their comorbidities, then it's reasonable to do a home test, because what we're looking for really is, do they or do they not have sleep apnea? If they do, how severe is it? And so the home sleep test really just measures respiratory effort and airflow and oxygen level, and that's it. So it gives us a little bit more than measuring someone's oxygen level over the course of the night. We get to correlate their oxygen level with their breathing and airflow. And it's an important diagnostic tool. The third-party payers have really locked into it and used that as sort of the gold standard. And unfortunately, I think they have.
But they're not getting all that you need to.
We're not getting all that we need. And they think that it's a replacement or the same as a sleep study. And oftentimes it's not. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're subject to their processes and procedures. Mm-hmm. And so if we walk through their path, generally speaking, if we need the in-lab test, mm-hmm. we can typically get it.
Do they typically make you start there as a step one? And then if you don't get the data, then you can advance to the in-lab?
That's exactly the case.
And hence why we have duplication of services that we're talking on the news about today.
Absolutely. And so it's an effort to save money, but oftentimes it just increases expenditures.
Yeah.
And most importantly,
and time and
it delays
else.
Care.
Yeah.
And that's our biggest gripe with it, I think, these days.
All right. Again, that was from the Doctor's Roundtable with Tanya Mack and her guest, Dr. Scott Leibowitz. And the reason I wanted to play that particular clip were a couple of interesting things about it. I mean, first of all, there are, and I think he gives the actual number earlier in the interview, but there are an ungodly number of people who suffer from sleep apnea. It's really, really common and really detrimental, I think. People that do suffer with it really don't get good sleep and therefore are not at their best every day, not to mention the fact that they're generally snoring their faces off and completely annoying their spouses and partners. And it's dangerous. You stop breathing, you could die. I mean, so it is really, really serious. But it's also interesting just because of the way he talked about third-party insurers sort of making the decision on what tests you can and cannot get. And it's one of the biggest frustrations I have with the healthcare system. Anyway, lots more to talk about, but you can hear that jazzy music, which means it's time to take a break. We will be right back after this.
With traffic reports that are always right on the money, this is Atlanta's Biz 1190.
President Obama is at war with everyone. Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt. The president who promised to pull Americans together has become the most divisive in recent memory. And the latest issue of Town Hall magazine examines the relentless attacks President Obama makes on gun owners, the Tea Party, even the media. There's also an exclusive report on Al-Qaeda's resurgence in Afghanistan and why the South can't shake off outdated stereotypes. For fresh, intelligent reporting every single month, subscribe at townhallmagazine.com and see the special offers waiting for you. That's townhallmagazine.com.
Look, the worst part about business travel is worrying about my wife and kids at home alone. My family's safety is my responsibility. That's why I started researching home security. I called the big alarm companies, checked online, even looked at doing it myself. But the best technology for the best price came from Vivint. They even won the Consumer's Digest Best Buy Award. Yes, Vivint gives me a complete security system, but it does even more. Vivint's video technology is unreal. I can see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I can even lock the doors remotely if my kids forget. Best yet, I got Vivint's no equipment costs and free install deal. $1,200 worth of camera and security equipment at no charge. Vivint was the easy choice for my family's safety.
Take control of your family's safety with Vivint. Order now for up to $1,200 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Plus, call now and installation is free. Call 1-800-236-7081. That's 1-800-236-7081. 1-800-236-7081.
For the careful investor, these are challenging times. Thankfully, there's Assured Guarantee. When you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Backed by a quarter century of experience and $12 billion in claims-paying resources, ask your financial advisor about Assured Guarantee, the proven leader in municipal bond insurance. For investors who embrace possibilities but invest in certainties.
Business Radio. That's right on the money. This is Biz 1190.
All right, welcome back to the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett. Sitting in today for Mike Roy is Joey Wensler. I said I was going to, before we got on the air, I was saying, you know, Mike is not Mike. He's Mike Roy. But Joey is just Joey.
Just Joey.
I might have to start calling you just Joey.
That's all I can be.
Kind of like it. All right, I didn't mention before we went to break that last clip again, you can hear the entire interview at doctorsroundtable.businessradiox.com. And lots of other great shows. The Doctor's Roundtable has been going on for a while. So if healthcare is your thing and you're interested in that, lots of great stuff podcasted over there that you can take a listen to. But I want to move on for segment number two. We are going to sort of focus on what's happening around Atlanta. And the reason why is because we have a clip this segment from our Gwinnett Business Radio studio, which I'm going to get to in a minute. But first, I want to talk about a couple of other things going on around Atlanta. First of all, you know that I love lists. So this, let's Lists, plural, is not easy to say. Lists. It's like you have to have really good diction to get that out.
The word list makes me feel like I have a list.
It does.
Totally.
We need to rethink. We need a new word.
Let's do it.
All right, we'll come up with something else. Meanwhile, on today's list, Decatur was named one of the top 10 great neighborhoods by the American Planning Association. If you've ever been over to Decatur, if you live there, you already know it's a great neighborhood. If you've been over there to eat dinner or whenever, or do some shopping, you can probably get a sense of what it's like over there. There are a variety of reasons why it was named that. It has to do with the walkability of the area, the accessibility to public transportation, and all of those things. And it's something I think that a lot of the different communities in Atlanta need to be striving for and looking to Decatur as an example. They've limited the height of buildings that can go in there, so it can't really become a downtown Atlanta. They're not going to put 70-story high-rise buildings, you know, in Decatur. But, you know, this was a really thorough study done by the American Planning Association. So it's not a Georgia thing. It's a national thing. And some of the other neighborhoods listed are historic Licking Riverside neighborhood in Covington, Kentucky, West Freemason in Norfolk, Virginia, downtown Norwich in Norwich, Connecticut. And the list goes on. But the only other southern one that I see here is Beaufort, South Carolina, the historic district. Anyway, very interesting. And, you know, again, the communities, a lot of the communities around Atlanta are trying to find that personality and that local flavor that we are all seemingly interested in now. Now, we were not interested in this 10 years ago, but now, you know, Roswell downtown is thriving. The Norcross downtown area is growing and thriving. And a lot of these areas are trying to sort of take over where the malls have died. And the malls dying is sort of one of my themes here as we move over to Gwinnett a little bit. First of all, I read a story saying that the Wall Street Journal actually did a report and said that Atlanta is bidding goodbye to sprawl, sort of. And basically what they're saying is that a huge percentage of development in Atlanta over the last 4 years or so has been in these more dense areas, as opposed to going further and further out and building new subdivisions that are just single family homes or malls or whatever. They're now building these mixed use communities with apartments and restaurants and retail, and that's what's more popular now. And a lot of that is happening in the downtown areas and in the existing communities in Smyrna and wherever. So I think it's a good trend. I think it's an interesting trend, and but it leaves places like the three huge malls in Gwinnett sort of at a loss. Two of the big headlines this week, one, Gwinnett Place Mall, which was in bankruptcy, I believe, has owned by the Simon Property Group. I don't know who owns it now, but they have sort of given up on it. But it actually has a buyer now. A company called Moonbeam Capital Investments is coming in to buy Gwinnett Place Mall. The deal's already done. I don't know what the price of the transaction was. They haven't released that information, but it'll be interesting to see what they do with it, because just revamping it as a mall doesn't feel like it's going to work. Because again, it was in bankruptcy. And then Discover Mills, which is not actually called Discover Mills anymore now, it's called like Sugarloaf Mills, also battling a huge debt problem. Another big headline in this week's news. And they built these three big malls in Gwinnett sort of all at the same time, 10, 15 years ago, when that was what people wanted, but now they don't want it. So there's these huge parcels of land with these huge buildings on them, and who's going? Right, nobody's going, and what do you do with that? You know, and then we get to our clip, because on the clip today, we have Lisa Anders. This is on the Gwinnett Business Radio Show, which airs every Tuesday and Thursday at 10 a.m., the host of that show, Mike Sambit and Stephen Julian, and their guest was Lisa Anders, who's the executive director with Explore Gwinnett, which is the new name of the Gwinnett County Convention and Visitors Bureau. So she's talking about their name change and kind of what they do, and I just thought it was interesting to tie it into this community that's struggling so much with some of these big sort of struggling malls. Anyway, take a listen to this clip.
Tell us all about Explore Gwinnett. Now, is this the Convention and Visitors Bureau or part of the CVB? How does that all work?
It's actually our new name. We just went through a rebranding process. We've been the Convention and Visitors Bureau for about 20 years. And after 20 years, you would think that people wouldn't know that we were not part of a government agency, but apparently not so much. There's a big.
So you're still in business.
We are actually doing better than ever. There's a big trend in our industry towards getting away from bureaucratic and governmental sounding names. People don't necessarily understand it or appreciate it, and talk about what we want our visitors to do when they come here. So we went through an entire branding process with focus groups and questionnaires and everything, and we came up with Explore Gwinnett. And it's been really well received, because previously, our logo, we also run the Gwinnett Center complex, the Gwinnett Center and the arena at Gwinnett Center, our board of directors does. And that was part of our logo, but people sort of perceived that was our only focus. And with Explore Gwinnett, it sort of spreads the focus all across Gwinnett County, and that's really what we wanted to do. So it's been going very well.
Okay, so you do the things that a CVB would do, but you're now called Explore Gwinnett with the new branding. For those that might not be familiar with the Convention and Visitors Bureau, or in this case, Explore Gwinnett, what does your company do?
Well, the short and sweet description is we put heads in beds. We always laugh about it, but it's a great description of what we do. A Convention and Visitors Bureau, our job basically is to bring meetings, events, sports, tournaments, family reunions, weddings. We're not really particular about who we bring. We just want to bring them to Gwinnett County, have them utilize our facilities and our hotels and our restaurants and our shops, spend their money, and go home.
All right, I love that she ends with spend their money and go home. First of all, it's funny. Like, we don't really want you to stay. Just go. Do what you got to do. Give us some cash and then get out. Anyway, that show was, again, part of the Gwinnett. That clip was part of the Gwinnett Business Radio show, which you can hear the rest of what Lisa had to say by going to GwinnettBusinessRadio.BusinessRadioX.com. And, you know, it was interesting for a couple of reasons. One is I'm just going to give you a little tiny sneak peek, if you will, at the Soapbox, which is, they changed their name. Why? Name changing and rebranding and whatever, that's going to be on the Soapbox today. So we're not going to there right now, because I want to save that up for the last segment. But rebranding, okay, I started to go there. I can't help it. Like, I got fired up and I started going there, but we're not going there, because we were going to talk about Gwinnett County. And, you know, one of the things she says is their goal as the Convention and Visitors Bureau is to put heads in beds. They want to bring meetings, they want to bring concerts, they want to bring sporting events to the facilities at Gwinnett, so that people come and spend money at Gwinnett restaurants and businesses and all of that. Well, you have that on the one hand, and you have them changing their name from, you know, Gwinnett County Convention and Visitors Bureau to Explore Gwinnett. And then on the other hand, you have these headlines about these malls going into bankruptcy and closing in Gwinnett County. And I think it's a really interesting thing, because I would think that in order to make Gwinnett County more, more appealing to meeting planners and sporting event planners and concert promoters and all of that, you would have to have a thriving retail restaurant community and all of that to put, you know, if you're going to bring people there and have them stay overnight or whatever else, there needs to be something for them to do besides just the main event, I would think. So I would think the more that those malls or those areas where the malls are can be changed into something that is appealing to our current desire for localization, the better. We'll see what happens. It's funny, because I remember being a kid, and now I'm going to totally age myself, but I remember being a kid in the 1970s, the early 1970s, and my mom worked for a department store which no longer exists called John Wanamaker's in the Philadelphia area.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
And she was a PR person for them. And I remember, like, wearing my little puffy jacket and standing outside and holding my mom's hand when they were doing the grand opening of the Springfield Mall in our hometown, Springfield, Delaware County, outside of Philadelphia. And being so excited, and we were all excited as kids and teenagers or whatever that the mall was here. And now, going to the mall is such a pain in the neck. It's such a chore. Like, I can't stand it. You park so far away, then you get in there, and you got to walk 3 miles to get to the stupid store you want to go to. Ugh. And I think everybody feels that way. So I don't know what changed in our culture that we were so excited about malls, and now we're so not into them. I guess somebody just came up with something better. That's what it is. So it'll be interesting to see what happens as Gwinnett County continues to try to improve. And of course, we will have a Soapbox segment on branding and name changing and all of that coming up later. Also, another great clip coming up from Business Radio X, and lots more here on the Week in Review. We'll see you after the break.
Come on, sweetie, jump to Dad.
I'm not sure, Daddy. The water's cold.
There are moments in life that cause us to hesitate.
Jump right here.
Okay. Here I come.
I got you. Good job.
I did it. That was fun.
But once we take action, we're really glad that we did. If you're thinking about selling your home, don't hesitate. Interest rates are low and buyers are in the market. Every market's different. Call a Realtor today and visit Realtor.com. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
As summer ends, winterizing begins. Pick up Splash RV Antifreeze 2 for $8 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's ready to use and provides burst protection to minus 50 degrees so you can protect the pipes in your RV, boat, pool, and lake house from the cold weather ahead. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for Splash RV Antifreeze 2 for $8. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hi, folks. This is Alan Thicke. I was the dad on a show called Growing Pains, and like all TV dads, I had to teach the kids about handling money. So here goes. If you were ever to find yourself owing the IRS $10,000 or more, you could be looking at wage garnishments, liens, bank levies. You might even lose your home or business. Not good. That's why I'd tell you to call the people at Optima Tax Relief, because there's a new tax debt forgiveness program just announced by the IRS called the Fresh Start Initiative. By calling Optima, you can jump on one of the biggest breaks the IRS has offered in ages. It's huge. You could qualify for a settlement that's 75% lower than before these changes. They're A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, and they even offer a money-back guarantee. Trust me, kids, you can trust these guys.
Call 800-711-5743. That's 800-711-5743. 800-711-5743. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
I remember the moment.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
A storage tank ruptured, and for miles, chemicals were pushing up against the riverbanks.
This was a big, big deal, and it was going to have a serious impact on communities up and down the river.
I remember the moment. This local guy came up to me and said, they call the guard out for this stuff?
You probably thought we were all about hurricanes, tornadoes, fighting Mother Nature.
Hey, it's a chemical spill. It's a disaster.
It affects the water supply, threatens wildlife.
We're talking about the health of entire communities and people's livelihoods.
You bet we're ready for these kinds of things.
We were out there with booms to prevent the spill from expanding.
We're responsible for protecting and monitoring the sensitive wetlands.
I also remember the moment that same guy came up to me and said, I don't know what we would have done if they hadn't called the guard up.
Learn more about how you can protect your friends, families, neighbors, and the environment. Everything that makes up your community. Go to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Georgia National Guard. Aired by the Georgia Association of Broadcasters and this station.
This is Hugh Hewitt for the townhall.com Weekend Journal. The president's budget stalemate with House Republicans unleashes a rash of what I have labeled verbal violence.
These Republicans putting on their suicide vests.
I believe it's terrorism.
Political terrorism.
They are not holding your children hostage. They are trying to blow your children up.
Fast, engaging, insightful. The townhall.com Weekend Journal.
Don't miss the townhall.com Weekend Journal. Sunday mornings at 7. Right here on Biz 1190. Always right on the money. Biz 1190. Weather.
Mostly sunny skies this afternoon. We'll have a high around 80 degrees. Then tonight will be partly cloudy and we'll have a low of 62. Partly sunny and nice for Columbus Day tomorrow. High about 75. Sunshine mixing with clouds Tuesday and Wednesday. Highs will stay in the mid-70s for both days. High about 74 Thursday. It's going to be a mostly cloudy sky. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Tethys Ayer for Biz 1190.
All right, we are back. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett. You can call us here in the studio, 404-231-1190, or tweet us, hashtag BizRadio, B-I-Z Radio. We jump around a lot on this show because there's just so much to cover. It's hard to fill, you know, to only have 1 hour to sort of talk about everything that happened this week.
Yeah.
Especially for somebody like me who just likes to run my mouth. And I have to say, I have a bunch of stuff just sort of about what's going on around Atlanta that I want to get to before we do the next clip. So I'm going to try to behave and get right to it. First of all, if you caught the news this week, the Nobel Peace Prize for 2013 was announced. And, you know, they can give the Nobel Peace Prize to an individual or a group. It's not necessarily just an individual. I think we kind of tend to hear more about it or think more about it when it's an individual. But this year, they gave the Nobel Peace Prize to the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, OPCW. And so that was kind of an interesting choice. There was this young girl that I think was a big contender for the prize, who's like involved in fighting, you know, for women's education, girls' education in Afghanistan, I believe. I'm probably getting that completely wrong. But anyway.
That's pretty bold.
Yeah. And I saw a whole segment on her on the news, which was pretty interesting. But they gave it to the OPCW, which is great. But the reason I bring it up is because there is an Atlanta connection, which is that, and this is really big news for Atlanta. So if you didn't catch this, that's why you're listening to Week in Review right here. The Nobel Peace Prize winners are going to be coming to Atlanta in 2015. Atlanta has actually won the 2015 gathering of the Nobel Peace Laureates. And this is only the second time that the Summit of International Superstars will be held here in the U.S. So it's really, really cool that we get to have it here in Atlanta. Part of the reason, of course, is because of our history with Martin Luther King Jr. here, or not here now, but having been here, as well as Jimmy Carter. So really, basically, all of the winners of the Nobel Peace Prize who are still living, whether it's an organization or an individual, come to this event. And so some of them, just to, you know, if you don't remember them all, because I know I didn't, include people like Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev, Barack Obama, F.W. de Klerk, Lech Walesa, Simone Perez, Henry Kissinger. Really cool. So it's, you know, Mayor Reed is really proud of this, that we got this here in the city. He says it's one of the, quote, most important wins the city has had since he's been mayor, unquote. He says it's, you know, going to put us, or continue to kind of build our reputation on the international stage, which is really, really cool. Of course, Jimmy Carter will be a part of it. Ted Turner will be a part of it. And we have Muhammad Yunus, actually, who was the 2006 Nobel Peace Prize winner, to really thank for it. It was his suggestion that Atlanta be considered, and he has actually made Atlanta his home now, so or his second home, I should say. But pretty interesting. So keep your eyes out. I mean, 2015 is still a little ways off.
It'll be here before you know it.
It really will. Time flies. But anyway, I just thought that was really cool that we got that here. In Atlanta, it's something to be really proud of. You know, sometimes we have issues, like we have malls closing out in Gwinnett, kind of stinks, you know, not so good. We have some issues where, you know, our city's not as connected as we would like it to be. We have this cool area over here and this cool area over there, and they don't connect and whatever. But then we get a cool event like this, and, you know, I read another story, which I didn't actually bring in with me today, about the transportation in Atlanta still improving. There's so much going on. Also, Scout Mob co-founder is eyeing the Flatiron building in downtown Atlanta for his new project, which is an incubator. But his name is Michael Tavani, if you're not aware of him. And there are a ton of incubators here in Atlanta. If you don't know what that is, it's basically, usually, it's for tech startups. It's for tech companies that are looking for a place to grow. And they get together in these incubators. Some of them are private, some of them are publicly funded, and they, you know, sort of learn from each other, and usually investors go there to look for companies to invest in and whatever. Well, Michael Tavani says, you know what, we need a consumer brand startup incubator, design startup incubator, not a tech company incubator. So he wants, I mean, he says Atlanta is a city of global brands. Coca-Cola is here, Turner Broadcasting is here. These are global brands. And so he wants to see some new brands come out of Atlanta. So he's creating this incubator. It begs the question for me, like, how many incubators do we really need? And if you're a startup, do you need to be in an incubator, or can you go it alone? I don't know. These are all important and good questions. But anyway, that's what he's looking into doing. And he's a very successful, very young guy, and he's in his early 30s and doing really well. So I'm sure all eyes will be on this project. And speaking of other young guys, before we move on, Jimmy Carter's, I believe it's his grandson, Jason Carter, state senate. He's in state senate now. Is thinking about, I believe, running for governor. And polls are showing that he is actually becoming more and more popular. I think initial polls were showing Governor Deal way, way in the lead in terms of popularity, but Jason Carter is actually picking up some popularity. So kind of interesting. Keep your eyes out for more on him. You know, Google it. This is a little, I got to give you like a little headline here, a little headline there. Hopefully I'm just picking your interest enough that you'll go out and Google some stuff. That's really yeah, all I can do.
A smorgasbord.
Yeah, a little of this, a little of that. It's like a buffet. All right, so We also had on Business Radio X this week another show that we have yet to feature here on Week in Review, which is a show called Midtown Business Radio. This one is hosted by Lee Cantor, and he had a guest this week named Karen West with Karen West PR. And I have no segue to get to this clip because I was just off on my Atlanta tangent with great things happening around town. But it's a really interesting clip, and Karen is a really interesting woman. So I wanted to bring this up for you guys to take a listen to. So check it out.
You've been around long enough to see PR change from where it used to be, oh, send out press releases, or there's a crisis, let me manage that, to a more interactive, creating dialogue, literally consumer at a time, right?
I mean, definitely. I think something that's really interesting about public relations, both Chad and I have been on the media side where, you know, I had a column and I was writing for magazines. Chad was, you know, running magazines. Mm-hmm. And so I really think that we approach our company approaches PR from the side of a story.
Right.
And so when things were changing, especially when the recession hit, I think the PR firms that really excelled were people who embraced it and looked at it, you know, in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, something that's really critical, or for anybody who's looking for PR, is that the business person, whoever, whether it's a small mom and pop restaurant to a huge corporation, has to understand that they need to be active in that process or the campaign is not going to be successful. And so we really work on our end because we decided, you know, we didn't want to niche it out and just do restaurants or, you know, just
right.
do retail, but we really wanted to do things that we're passionate about. And that obviously gives us the greatest success, but also finding people that are equally involved and excited about their companies and the growth of their company. So
because when you're kind of prospecting this to a potential client, you want to be aligned philosophically, like that I'm going to require you to do some work on your end to be personally involved, right?
That's correct. And, you know, we're here to make, you know, your life easier. But at the same time, you know, the market, the media market, as you guys know, is changing so
right.
quickly. And so I've literally had phone calls at 1 o'clock in the morning saying, hey, by the way, somebody canceled. Can we get one of your clients on a morning show?
Right.
And so, I mean, we have our clients saying, you know, Matt Coggin, DBA Barbecue, hey, buddy, you want this chance?
Right.
And he was like, yeah, I'm in.
That's it. And they have to know that. You got to manage that expectation, right?
We really, really do. But I feel like it's a very exciting time when it comes to public relations.
All right, again, that was Karen West with Karen West PR, and that was on the Midtown Business Radio show on Business Radio X. You can hear the whole interview at midtown.businessradiox.com. And the thing that I thought was interesting about this is I know it was a huge kind of turn of topic, because we were talking about something completely different before I played this clip. But I really thought I had to get this in today because a couple of things were interesting about this. When you're a startup business and you're trying to decide where to spend your money, listening to her talk, it's really clear that spending money on having a really well-connected PR firm is a good idea. As Lee points out, you know, it used to just be, oh, you write a press release and maybe somebody picks it up. And so who cares? I don't need a PR firm to do that. But the PR firms that are really well connected to the media, that's who, and I can say this because I'm in the media, right? That's who, we don't go out and look for a new business to bring on an interview. We call the PR people and say, I need a restaurant to come in and talk to me. And they go, oh, I have a client. Let me send them over, you know? And so, if you're thinking about where to spend your budget, a really good PR person, I mean, you got to vet them. You got to make sure they are a really good PR person. They're not just somebody who threw PR after their, you know, company, whatever. We do websites and PR. No. But somebody who is really well connected to the media, I think, is a very good investment of your dollars, right? And the other thing that I think was so interesting about what she said is that you as the client, you as the small business, the medium-sized business, the solopreneur, whatever it is you are, have to participate. You can't expect to just hire a PR firm and go like, well, go do something for me. Go make me famous, right? You have to actively participate in the process. And that's, you know, talking to them about what you want. That's being available at the last minute to show up for an interview. You know, I had somebody on a show that I was doing who begged us to be on the show through a PR firm. And the PR firm was great. I love the PR firm and I work with them all the time. But this particular business begged to be on the show. And, you know, I was feeling generous. I was like, I'm not super interested in what they have to do. But, you know, they've asked multiple times, great, come on the show. And you know what they did? They canceled less than 24 hours before the show went live. And the PR firm felt terrible. But as a client, as a business, you can't do that because I'll never have them back on another show. And I talk to other people too. So take an active role, consider getting a PR firm. Consider staying with us through the break, because after the break comes the soapbox and you don't want to miss it. We'll be back right after this.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Aaron Williams. Get your complete forecast right here on Biz 1190, where we're always right on the money.
Look, the worst part about business travel is worrying about my wife and kids at home alone. My family's safety is my responsibility. That's why I started researching home security. I called the big alarm companies, checked online, even looked at doing it myself. But the best technology for the best price came from Vivint. They even won the Consumer's Digest Best Buy Award. Yes, Vivint gives me a complete security system, but it does even more. Vivint's video technology is unreal. I can see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I can even lock the doors remotely if my kids forget. Best yet, I got Vivint's no equipment costs and free install deal. $1,200 worth of camera and security equipment at no charge. Vivint was the easy choice for my family's safety.
Take control of your family's safety with Vivint. Order now for up to $1,200 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Plus, call now and installation is free. Call 1-800-236-7081. That's 1-800-236-7081. 1-800-236-7081.
You're invited to an evening with Dennis Prager, Robbie Zacharias, and comedian Jeff Foxworthy for The Death of Truth and the Decline of Culture, Thursday, October 17th at 7 p.m. at Perimeter Church in Johns Creek.
I look forward to seeing you there.
Get your tickets now at biz1190.com.
Hi, I'm Dana Barrett. Join me every Sunday at noon for the Business Radio X Week in Review. With all the information coming at us every day, it's easy to miss something. But not to worry, I've got you covered. Every Sunday, I'll catch you up on what's happening in Atlanta and introduce you to the innovators who move Atlanta's bottom line.
Your source for financial news. This is Biz 1190.
All right, we are back. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett, sitting in for Mike Roy, Joey Wensler, producing, pushing buttons, making me sound good.
Oh, you sound great.
Thank you. The soapbox is a little bit interesting today because I have an issue with something, but I also, you know, am not 100% sure how I feel about it. So I really am open to your thoughts about what we're going to talk about. You can call us 404-231-1190. I don't know if we'll have even time to take calls, but tweet me at hashtag BizRadio or at Dana H. Barrett. Go to my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TheDanaBarrett. Here's the deal. We talked a little bit about this earlier in the show when we were talking about Explore Gwinnett and them changing their name from the Gwinnett County Convention and Visitors Bureau, and they had a lot of good reasons for doing it. But it brings this up this idea for me of the amount of money, time, and energy spent on rebranding, changing your name as a company. And I want to put that kind of alongside another very similar issue, which is when the proverbial they, take a technology, for example, let's say, that hasn't actually changed and give it a new name, like the cloud. Now, anybody who actually thinks their data is hanging out in a cloud somewhere is probably smoking something that's not legal.
Mm-hmm.
But because your data is still in a server somewhere, which they used to call a server farm, but I guess the farm was sort of a smelly concept, so they went to a cloud because it's like a pretty concept, but it's still a bunch of servers somewhere. And so now we think we're getting something new, but we're not. It's still a bunch of servers somewhere that can break down. It's not a fluffy cloud, people. And when you talk about it as it relates to companies, right, they came up with their name, they spent however many hours and they invested money in consumer research and they talked to people and they tested things out and they got ideas and they searched for domain names, blah, 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 and they came up with a name. And then they spent time and energy advertising that name and branding that name and you becoming loyal to that name as a customer, right? And then they say, oh, yeah, we decided that that doesn't really say who we are anymore, so we're going to change it, right? Here's an example. Well, the Convention and Visitors Bureau going to Explore Gwinnett is an example. When I hear Convention and Visitors Bureau, I know what they are. When I hear Explore Gwinnett, I don't know what that is. Sounds like a magazine? I don't know. The company you send it changed their name to Hightail?
Yeah.
What the heck is Hightail?
I don't know.
Yeah, and I've been using You Send It for years, and I'm loyal to You Send It, and I don't care that they do more than send things. They could add other services and I would still understand. Like, I'm not stupid. Yeah. I can understand that they do other things under that name. So because I always bring up this example, but if you go back to like Radio Shack.
The Shack.
It's a shack with radios. Nobody even buys radios anymore. But they didn't change their name. They just added new stuff because all the people that are loyal to Radio Shack and who understand that when they need to buy the little widget that connects one thing to the other thing, that they go to Radio Shack. And if they change their name to like, you know, phone building or like, you know, smartphone house instead of Radio Shack, you wouldn't know that that's where you go to get your little widget anymore, right? So they stuck with their name and they just went with it. They said, this is who we are and we're okay. So my issue is, why are we spending all this time and energy and money with these, coming up with these new names for things? It just emphasizes how stupid companies think consumers are. Like, the cloud. I talked about the cloud. What if we decided, Joey, to change the name of a cardboard box?
To what?
I'm thinking like a multi-purpose reusable containment unit. We could probably sell more boxes if we called it that.
And you could charge more.
And you could charge more until the consumers figured out it's just a box. It's infuriating. You know, like let's call a set of stairs a manual, multi-directional, level connecting, people moving device. With optional safety features. And then you can pay more to get a set of stairs put in your house. I mean, come on. It's stairs.
Or a non-functional escalator.
Or a... Perfect. I love it. So the question to me is, you know, do you lose people when you change the name of things? And are... You know, here I am loyal to you, send it. Now it's called Hightail. I feel kind of stupid saying Hightail out loud. Send it to me on Hightail. Like, that sounds silly.
Yeah.
So... Now I'm sort of embarrassed, and I'm just going to go use Dropbox instead because the name is cooler than Hightail. I don't know. I don't know what Hightail is. It confuses me, right?
Doesn't make any sense.
Right. So now I'm like sort of turned off. That was a brand I liked, and I'm sort of turned off. And they spent a ton of money, I'm sure, trying to come up with the new name and deciding that they even needed a new name. And, you know, really what they should have been doing, in my opinion, is something we talked about, I think, last week, which is getting to know their customer better. Figuring out what their customer wants. Leave the name alone. Who cares? First of all, I'm not stupid enough to think it's something new. I get that, like, that box is still a box, no matter what you call it. That my data is on a server somewhere, not in a puffy cloud, right? I get it. And most people get it. You know, yes, there are some idiots out there who probably are like, oh, my data is really in a fluffy cloud. But most people are not. You guys listening, obviously, are way smarter than that. So when you're spending, when you're, you know... When you're investing your time and energy in hoodwinking your customers into thinking that something old is something new, when you haven't actually changed anything, are you actually making the right call as a business? Or is that how you should be spending your money? Or are you ultimately just sort of frustrating and irritating your existing customers?
Well, if it isn't broken, don't attempt to fix it.
Right, and how do you know it was broken, right? Like, so how, why did YouSendIt think that they weren't getting, maybe they felt like they couldn't compete with Dropbox, right? Because Dropbox was maybe a more clear name for what their services are. They're very similar services, right? But so then improve your services. Don't just change your name.
Right.
Improve your services. Improve your communication. And maybe they think changing their name is improving their communication. I thought it was just confusing. I would rather have had them, you know, find a way to let me know that they do other things. Talk to me intelligently. Respect my ability to understand that you can still be Radio Shack and sell me a smartphone, right?
There you go.
Because I get that. I get that. So I don't know. I just it's an interesting topic because the rebranding right now, branding in general, and we talked about one of the clips we had. I think it was last week with the branding firm that was on my show actually on Good Morning Atlanta. It was all about branding and whatever. And branding is such a buzzword now. I'm saying it over and over again. I almost feel like I'm weirdly repeating myself, which reminds me that last week I said I was going to say Benedict Cumberbatch a few times.
Oh, yeah.
The actor's name, and I forgot to do it. So I'm going to do it now. Benedict Cumberbatch. Great name. People who didn't listen last week are like, what in God's green earth is she talking about? Benedict Cumberbatch is the actor who is coming out in the new movie called The Fifth Estate. I think it comes out next week. Which is about the Julian Assange WikiLeaks story. And that actor, Benedict Cumberbatch, whose name I'm going to keep saying because I love it, is in like every movie in the last year. He was like in Star Trek, and he's in the new movie coming out with Brad Pitt, 12 Years a Slave. I mean, he's in everything. Speaking of 12 Years a Slave, I'm off on a tangent. Soapbox, we'll be right back. But the book 12 Years a Slave, which has now been made into a movie in which Benedict Cumberbatch is one of the co-stars, If anyone's counting, I think I said it 7 times now, maybe 8. Anyway, iTunes is giving that book away for free right now, so check that out. There's a link to it on my Facebook page, so facebook.com/thedanabarrett, and you can get a copy of 12 Years a Slave for free. And it's for a limited time. I don't know how long they're going to keep it out there for free. So it's I checked this morning, and it was still free. So go get it now. And if you don't get it now, do not blame me, because I told you. All right. Okay. Getting back to the soapbox. So, you know, the name changing thing is it feels to me very much like a ploy and a gimmick. And all those words are sort of nice ways of saying manipulation, perhaps.
Dupe. You've been duped.
Yes. Thank you. Perfect word. You've been duped. And, you know, initially you're excited because you think, oh, there's a new company, Explore Gwinnett, or there's a new, you know, product, the cloud, or there's a new whatever. And the truth is there isn't. It's the same old, same old. So I still have an issue with it because I just question the validity of the dollar spent on it. That's all I'm really saying. And I'm guilty in my own weird way of I the other issue I think is when you name your company too specifically, which Radio Shack did, and again I admire them for just sticking to their guns, but you know, they didn't see into the future that radios weren't going to be the thing in 30 years or 40 or whatever it's been, right? When I had a bookstore, it was called Coffee by the Book, B-U-Y the Book, right? We sold coffee and people could come in and buy books. It was very specific. So had I wanted to change that business into something else and also sell toys or sell, you know, I don't know, whatever else, full meals or something like that, my name really wouldn't have been indicative of what I was doing. And so I was equally guilty of picking a name that was too specific, I think. And the thing is, people get so focused on what to call things and what to name things. They lose sight of just focusing on building the business and connecting with customers, because ultimately some of the most popular brands have names that mean absolutely nothing. What does Yahoo mean?
I don't know.
Right? Woohoo! That's all it means, right? You know? Like, right? It doesn't mean anything. What does Kleenex mean? Well, we know what it means now because they created a brand and we bought into it. So a Kleenex is a tissue for us, but the word Kleenex doesn't mean anything. You know, so why can't you call your company like Bajigabaja? It doesn't matter. It could be anything. You know, who's he what? Like, it doesn't matter. You know, if it's like, you know, if it rolls off the tongue, like Mike Roy rolls off the tongue, right? Like, then call it whatever you want to call it and just create a great product, create a great logo, create a great website, create a great service, you know, write a great blog. Don't worry about what it's called. They will find you if you're great. You know, and stop changing your names all the time. It's just confusing and annoying. Okay? I think I've made that clear. I'm going to breathe now. I do need to remind you before we wrap up for the day that there are tons of great programs over on businessradiox.com. No matter what industry you're interested in, from health to insurance to aging to general sort of business to insurance to finance, all of that is available for your listening pleasure in podcast form over on businessradiox.com, as well as repeats of this show. You can catch that over there as well on weekinreview.businessradiox.com. And we will be back next Sunday with Mike Roy. It's been a pleasure to have Joey in the studio today, so thank you for being here. And thank you all for being here and listening. It's going to be another great week. We hope you have lots of success this week, and we'll see you right back here next Sunday. Have a great day.